Parsha Shuma, the beginning of the first pasuk of the Parsha. Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar. I think, by the way, this is the first time it says Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar. Parsha Shuma. I once spoke about that. Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar. I don't remember. That was another bracha. Let's start. Daber El Bnei Yisrael Vichuli Truma. Okay, fine. Doesn't matter. Fine. Daber, Rabbi Yisai, please. Rabbi Yisai, please. Can we please have decorum, please? Daber el bnei Yisrael vichuli truma meis kolish sheyidved libo tichu es trumasi. Rashi, vichuli truma li Rashi says lishmi truma. What is truma? Rashi says hafrosha. Shuma means separation. Yafrishu li. Mi moinam nidava. Separate for me, mi moinam from your money, nidava, a gift. Now, in ancient times, I read this recently. I don't even remember where I read this. In ancient times, giving charity was not common. What do we mean not common? When people would donate to a cause, they would donate themselves. Service.
Volunteer.
Oh. That's the way, that this idea today, we live in America. In America, we live in the land of freedom. Everyone is independent. There's no such thing as slavery. So how do you show support for a cause? I believe in something. I believe in a certain organization, the Red Cross. So what do? You take out your checkbook. Today, people don't even have checkbooks anymore, but you send money electronically. You give a gift. You send someone money. Money talks. That's the way you show support for an organization.
You're paying someone else to do the service.
The organization has people that have jobs, that work, and they have benefits, and they have their own life, and they work for this organization. And the way other people can show support for an organization is by giving a donation. This is a modern concept. If you go back and study ancient civilizations, the way people showed support organizations was, you give your time. Money is not the issue. The way, or how do they have material, what?
Are we talking about in the Jewish world? Or the
whole world, the non-Jewish world.
The church would certainly take the cash.
No, I'm talking about ancient civilization. I'm not going back before the time.
The Gemara talks about is you would donate to the base of English a day's labor or something.
Exactly. In Nevi'im, you learn about Shlomo HaMelech. We read it in the Haftarah. Maybe it's in this week's Haftarah. I didn't even prepare yet. In the Haftarah, we read about people, Shlomo HaMelech, he conscripted people to serve. You work this amount of time, they call you off for duty. They call you off for reserve duty, like today. Exactly. That is how you donate. You don't give. Today we live in a world, so if you're in the military, you're called up to serve. The reserves, miluim, you're called up. But what about everyone else? No, we don't want you. Just give us your money. There was no such thing. Give you your money. You donate yourself. And what does it mean you donate yourself? You basically, I'm going to make money. I'm here for you. So what do? You do labor that creates, that you go out to the field and you mine gold. You mine silver. Or you create items, not by giving them, by giving of yourself. That was a technique that was common in Tanakh. You find this.
Like barter system in a way. I mean, sort of.
That's the main form of giving, is to give yourself. This is a very novel concept. this is very modern.
But this is the ancient form. I'm not sure I understand.
No. So this, when you look at this, what it says here, and you contrast this to what we know to be true in ancient civilizations, and even in Nach itself, this is a very modern approach. I want donations. Donations. It's not. This is not a common idea. You give of yourself. And 13 different items. We're asking for donations. We don't want you. We have enough skilled laborers, craftsmen, Salel, Aholiyov. They know what. We just want your money. Just send in a check. Send in building materials. and you stay far away. Yeah. Don't come near. Don't. Too many cooks in the kitchen is going to ruin the dish. Spoil the broth. Stay out of the kitchen. Just send us your money. That's a very novel concept, because derech klal, the way people would donate in ancient times is you donate yourself. What? You don't agree with this?
Okay. Ancient times. I don't know what, where
exactly. That's why it's so bizarre. That's why it's so bizarre, because
what's
go pay.
About it? This is the way they did it.
No, it's not the way they did it. Look in Sefer Melachim. When Shlomo HaMelech asked for donations, he did not ask for money. He asked for people. He asked for craftsmen, people that skills. I need someone who has a skill. I need people to porters, to schlep.
Yes, to have Torah.
To schlep things. I don't want your money. I don't need your money.
Did he pay them or they were volunteers?
No, volunteers. They didn't have a choice. They weren't paid. They weren't paid. The way you donate is you donate of yourself. You don't donate money. Donating money is cheap. Okay? To send in a check, that's cheap.
Wasn't he asking for materials?
Materials is not...
And copper and silver?
Not Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech didn't need it. Why did he not need it? I don't know. You're asking a good question. You need the materials. But that's not the focus. Obviously, you need gold, silver. You need 13 different items are listed here that are needed for the Beis HaMikdash. But when you're coming to make an appeal, the main appeal is I need people. I don't need the materials. The materials are secondary. Yet here you get a sense that the Iker is the materials and the service is secondary. Obviously you need both. But what's the Iker?
But what was the money?
Where'd they have money?
What was the money?
What do you mean the money?
What was the currency?
So you're asking a very good question. If they were living in isolation, Rabbi Sai, please. If they were living in isolation for 40 years, you're asking a very good question. What kind of currency did they have? Well, they had the Bank of the Desert. The National Israeli Bank of the Desert? What kind? That's a side question. There was Bizas Mitzrayim. They came out of Mitzrayim. Each person came out with a donkey's loaded to the hilt with gold, silver, with types of wool and linen and dyes and the 13 items. Moshe Rabbeinu was making an appeal. We need gold, we need silver, we need copper, we need tcheles, we need argamon. Can someone please come? And here is the stock room. Please come and give donations. Drop off your donation and go home, and we never want to see you again. And leave us alone. Right. Don't butt in. Don't tell us what to do. Just come and bring us the money and go home. We have enough people to work here. If you study Nevi'im in the Haftarah, when Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, we got to build a Beis HaMikdash. So what are we going to do? Shlomo HaMelech says, I don't need money. I don't need wood. I don't need silver. I don't need nothing. What I need are people. Yeah. I need hands. I need workers.
I thought David HaMelech had accumulated all the materials.
So you give me a technical answer, and the answer you're giving me is that David that's what he needed. David already accumulated all of the assets, all of the money. They just needed the craftsmen. Okay, that's true. Let's just for the moment right now, and this is not the main point I want to make. I'm just saying this is a hakdama. I didn't realize it would be such an explosive thing to say this. Okay? This is a hakdama. It's what I want to get to. It's not my main point. For right now, let's just say, what's the focus? In any construction project, you need two things. You need money. You need millions and millions of dollars to buy the materials. And you need people that are willing to work.
Labor,
manpower. Today, you say, we look at it as all the same. There's no difference between, just like you need lumber, so you need to pay a worker to build a house. No, that's not the way it is. Right. You need people to donate of their time to give, the same way this one gives you $1 million to buy lumber, I need you to give me a year of your life. I want you to quit your job And I want you just to work for the Beis HaMikdash for free in building, in doing construction. Exactly. So what's the focus? So here there's absolutely no focus on laborers. And how in the world can one, two people build the whole Mishkan? Bezalel and Aholiyav built this massive, massive structure? The Mishkan is no small structure. It's a massive structure. It's mashal the pasuk. You have two people doing the entire thing. Bezalel and Aholiyav. So what do we need from the people of Klal Yisrael, from the 600,000 men? We just need your money. When Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, the impression you get is, we don't need your money. Stay, keep your money to yourself. We have enough money. We need workers. Who wants to quit their job for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years, and just devote themselves to building the Beis HaMikdash? I need an electrical engineer. I need plumbers, and I need this one, you have all the different types of skills that I need. I need you to quit your job and come donate your whole life to the Beis HaMikdash. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming to ask people to volunteer themselves? Isn't that much more noble to give of yourself, to quit your job? And just, I have a skill. I know how to do this type of thing. And the Beis HaMikdash needs this. And you need a lawyer. You need someone to set up a trust, to set up a foundation. How many people know all the legalities to deal with all of the regulations, to deal with these issues, to set up a foundation to make donations tax deductible? How many people know how to do this? But if I have to do this, you know how much time it takes? Okay, I need someone to make a website for the Beis HaMikdash so people can give donations. Well, you need someone who knows what they're doing. There's a lot of technology. There's a lot of skill. You need people to give of themselves. You can't just buy everything. You need people to donate of their time and effort to get it to work. Nothing here. It's just, come on, Rabbi Yisrael, give me the money. Give us the money. And the laborers, it's not even mentioned. Whereas Shlomo HaMelech, just the opposite. Money, we don't need your money. I need workers. That's not the main point I want to make. I want to make over here is the truth is Moshe Rabbeinu Be'etzem is really asking for people. In this instance, you know something, we really don't need your money. Let's learn like that because we don't need workers. This structure is going to build Lamala Miderech HaTeva. We have Bezalel, Aholiyav. They'll take care of everything. So we don't need you. We just need your money. Yet, the point I want to make over here is, when you give your money, don't give your money with an attitude, I'm here, and you're there, and you can have my money. If that's your attitude in giving a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, then I don't want your money. I want you to give yourself. The problem is, I don't need you, because I have enough workers. So, but when you give the money, you at least come with an attitude in your mindset should be that I'm really giving myself. No, I can't because you don't need me, but let the donation carry my kavana of giving my entire essence. Now, what do I mean? Let me bring out the point. The first Rashi, if you were writing the Rashi, my question to you is, would you write the Rashi in this order? The words are a few short words. Would you write these same exact words in the order they're presented in Rashi? Rashi's words are teruma. You don't need the Rashi about teruma. Hafrasha. The word teruma means separation. Yafrishu li. I want you to separate to me. You, the Jewish people, separate to me, me moinam. From your money, nidava, a gift. If I was writing this Rashi, I would say, yafrishu mi moinam li nidava. I think the more common way to express this idea when you're asking people to give money, a donation, you have a lot of money. Look at that. Look at your bank account. You got $1 million. How about go to the bank and separate from the $1 million in the bank, $10. Do hafrosha. Hafrosha, have $1 million, separate $10 from the $1 million, separate. Here's now 900,000, 999,080 dollars, right? $90, and here's $10. Hafra, and then take the what you're mafresh and give it to me. So the pasuk should say, hafrosha, yafrishu, the Jewish people shall separate me mi moinam from their money, li, to me, or nedava, let's say nedava li, a nedava for me. But that's not what it says. You know what it says? It says, in before you give me the money, I want you, the person, to separate yourself from your money. The yikhu li truma, Moshe Rabbeinu saying, I want people. I want, in order to build this Mishkan, I want people who are dedicated to the cause. I want Mila Hashem Eli. Right? Moshe said to Bnei Levi, Mila Hashem Eli. Who is to Hashem? It's like exactly what Moshe. I'm not taking donations from anyone that doesn't really believe in the cause. If you don't believe in the cause and the only reason why you're giving a donation is because you're ashamed into giving a donation like we do today, we make an appeal to force people to give money for a good cause, you don't appreciate, but we need the money and therefore we don't care what you think, give us the money, that's the bottom line. That may be good today, but when it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash, I want Mila Hashem Eli. And the people who can say about themselves that they're dedicated to the cause, from you, I'll take a donation. So Moshe says, V'yikhu li truma, hafrasha. I want you, yafrishu li mimimoinam. I want people to separate themselves from their money. I don't want your money. I don't want you to go to your money and take from your money and separate a portion of your money and pull it out and give it to the Beis HaMikdash. I want you, the person, to completely separate from your money. You have $1 million and you're part of that money. You work for it. Separate yourself from that money. Show me you couldn't care less about money. Yafrishu li, separate yourselves to Hashem, mimi moina, from all of your money, as a nedava to Hashem. I want people who don't care about their money, people who are devoted to the cause. Person is his money. We live, that's how we live. Our mind is totally obsessed with how much do I got in the bank? How much money can I make? If you're that type of person and you're gonna give me a donation, I'm not interested. I want you to completely to acknowledge that your money is nothing to do with life. Forget about your money. Remove yourself from your wealth, your assets, to dedicate yourself to Hashem. And if you can actually say that, you're going to be poirish from your money, here I am, I'm here to serve. From you, now, the next step is, give me this, I need some gold and silver and tcheles nargaman. The first pasuk is, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, the yikhu li teruma, and take from the B'nai Yisrael people who are willing to separate their being, their essence from their money. They're not people that are obsessed and live in their gashmias. And when you'll find those people who are willing to be afrishu li, separate yourselves to me, Hashem, mimimoinam, as a nedava, person who is a giving person. Nedava here means you, the person, shall be separated. Then from you, I kindly ask, can you please help the cause and donate some raw materials? Okay? All of this I'm trying to base upon the unusual words of the pasuk of Rashi and on an historical account that in ancient times the primary form of donations were not money. We're not assets. We're not raw materials. The primary request from people for a good cause was service. And this is very strange at face value that it's all about giving a check.
What's the difference between Maisa and Terumah? What was targeted Maisa as opposed to Terumah?
That's a separate point. It's a very good question, but that's a separate point. Over here, we're building the Beis HaMikdash. We're using the word Terumah. The word Terumah means hafrosha. It means separation. And what is the first step? The step is you, a person, ordinarily, you're obsessed with how much money you have in the bank. How much money can I make from this? I cannot do this. I will not. I know many people, they will not lift a finger to do anything unless they're paid. You ask them a favor, time is money. You know, schar b'teila. It's going to be for an organization or it's going to be for a good cause. I'm not going to charge the going rate. I normally charge $100 an hour for my skills. You need me to do a service. It's for a yeshiva. I'll do it for half the price. To do it for free? You crazy? I will not lift a finger if I'm not going to be paid at least something. I know many people like that. People ask them favors for organizations. Time is money. I have to make a parnasa. I have to have a family to feed. I'm looking for work. But you're not doing anything on this day. It doesn't matter. Then that means that's my time for my family. That's free time. That attitude is toxic for the Beis HaMikdash. The first thing is the Yikru Li Truma. I want people that are willing to donate themselves for the Beis HaMikdash. How do you donate yourselves? Don't look at every moment of your life as a way and a means, every effort that you exert in your life as a means to earn money. Separate yourself from your money. You be poorish from your own assets. Don't be a slave to materialism. Then, when you can define to me that you're that type of person, it is from you I ask a request, please give a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. But if you're the type of person who every moment of your life, you'll never volunteer for a service unless you're being paid, and now you're so kind and gracious to give from your great wealth $1 million to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm not interested in that money. I'm not interested in taking money whose lives are totally intertwined with making money, obsessed with money. Those type of people I'm not interested in. The first step in giving a donation to the Beis HaMikdash is the Yikhu Li Tumah. Speak to the Jewish people and take from the people, human beings, as donations to Hashem. And how do you do this? These people are the people who separate themselves from their assets. And then we can begin to ask those select people, can you please give a donation? Okay, let's go to a different idea. I see this idea is not very popular here. Let's move along. What?
They're not physically giving of themselves. They only take,
I know, but it's an attitude. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. You have two people. Mm-hmm. One person, here's what I mean. You have two people. These are skilled people. People who have a certain skill. The organization needs a person to perform this skill. Can you please volunteer, do this? How long will it take? A whole day. I want you to volunteer all day. How much are you paying me? Nothing. We don't have a penny in the bank. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. I will only, if you'll pay me, then I'll do it. I normally charge a day's work like this, $1,000. It's for a yeshiva. I'll do it for $500. The other person says, you know what? I'll do it for free. And both of them are the same financial situation. Okay, let's assume both people have 12 children, paying tuitions. They need every penny they can possibly get. They married off the children. Let's talk about people who are both in desperate need of money, and they have jobs, they have income, but now you're asking for a favor. Two people have exactly the same skill. An organization needs help. And you approach two people. I once did this. Okay, I approached on behalf of an organization. I needed someone to do something, some skill labor, some technical skill labor. And there were people. And I asked one person, and he said to me point blank, "If I'm not getting paid, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it." And he said, "I'm not doing anything else that day. That day, I'm not getting paid. That's how it is." And I was taken aback.
I agree.
And then there was another person who is even poorer. Has less money, has more children, has more tears in life, and I asked him, and he says, of course. Of course, I will do it, no charge. This is a very worthy organization, and it's my duty. It's my duty. I will do it. I will do it at no charge. Okay? Two people. Okay? Same exact situation. And no, you're entitled to charge. You're entitled to charge 100%. So what's the difference between these two people? One person is, my life is money. Life is money. The other person is, life is life and money is money. I need money to live. I need money to survive. If I don't have money, I'm going to die. I'm going to starve. I have children's what? I have an obligation. I got married. I have a ksuba. I got to support my wife and children. That's the way it is. So I don't care. I don't know. He says, no. But yet he says, listen, I have a job. I worked the whole week. I can give tzedakah. You give tzedakah with your money and you give tzedakah with your time. So you know what? He said to me, I'm willing to volunteer. I'll do the service, no charge. No charge. So Moshe Rabbeinu, so one person was able to separate his essence from his money, and the other person was not able to separate himself from his money. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need your service.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't. He doesn't need your service.
He needs someone physically.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. There are two people that are doing everything here. Moshe Rabbeinu does not need anyone to lift a finger. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the Pasuk. The whole Mishkan. Maybe they were assistants, but he doesn't need every single person here. That's not what he wants over here. Moshe Rabbeinu has a staff. He has people. He has enough people to do what he needs to get done. He needs money. He needs money. He needs a lot of money. He needs a lot of these 13 types of valuable materials. He doesn't need workers. I have enough workers. Okay, let's say it wasn't just Betzalel, a whole team. Betzalel had a team of 1,000 people. 10,000 people, and Aliyah had a team of 1,000 people. Moshe here is not making an appeal for workers. He's making an appeal for cash. So he goes to two people, and here's the technique. If he would go to these two people and say, can you please give a donation to the Beis HaMikdash? What a zechus to have your name, you know, the Aron HaKodesh. Don't you want a plaque on the Aron HaKodesh? Sponsored by this family, lezechusam. Right? Wherever you go today, you know, wherever you go today, there's a plaque. Sponsor, you go into the bathroom, there's a plaque. Come out of there, there's a plaque. Everything has to be, your name is plastered on every little thing. You know, interesting, in the Beis HaMikdash, was there a plaque on the Aron HaKodesh? Was there a plaque on the Shulchan, on the menorah? Was there even one plaque anywhere in the whole Beis HaMikdash? Not even one plaque.
I think there was.
Outside, should not be with the government.
Nicknor made the menorah and
Nicknor.
Nicknor called the gate of Nicknor.
Nicknor.
That was his name.
Who gave the name Nicknor? Did he give the name Nicknor or the Beis HaMikdash as a zecher for the miracle, the nace of his Mesiras Nefesh?
Right. So
not for his money.
It
doesn't say any plaque. It was called. It was called Shar Nicknor. It was called Shar Nicknor. It wasn't a plaque. That was an exceptional story because it was a miracle. It wasn't because of him. No, it was a miracle. He donated the doors. If he did not, the miracle did not happen, it would not be called Shar Nicknor. He donated two magnificent doors to the Beis HaMikdash. They put him on a ship. And according to them, his name would not be, they would not be called Shar Nicknor. And what happened? The ship almost capsized. They had to throw the doors overboard. And he had so much tsar. What was it? So he had an incredible tsar. And because of that tsar, a miracle happened that the door clung to the bottom of the ship and it was dragged all the way to Yerushalayim. So it was a zecher for the miracle, they called it Shar Nicknor. The only other time the plaque was Shar Shushan Habira. Only other plaque was, and who's that? The government insisted. Don't forget who's the boss here. Other than that, there was no plaque anywhere in the entire Beis HaMikdash. Today, you go to a shul, it has to be. I'm not coming to tell you how you can do fundraising today. If you're not going to smear people and give them kavod, then there's not going to be any
Yam
money.
Shloima.
What?
Yam Shel Shloima.
The Yam Shel Shloima? Was it called the Yam? Was it called the Yam? I don't call it Shal Shloima. Was it called the Yam Shal Shloima? I don't know. I don't think it was called Shal.
I mean, you have the names of people that like
it could be. It's called the Yam Shal Shloima because it's not in the Torah. In the Torah, there's the Kiyar. The Kiyar. He invented a new type of thing, a mikvah. It was an innovation. So it wasn't a donation to the ark. So what's the pshat? I'm not saying it has balance. There's a degree. In the Beis HaMikdash, they did a l'shma. Obviously, today we need to put people's names on buildings. But when you get to such an extreme where we give someone an alamichi card and it has to say right in front of Hashem's name, sponsored l'zuchus so-and-so, I guess what, well, you know who's demanding this? Not the organization, the person himself. I want my name there. I demand you put my name there. That's really crazy. Yahalol chazor v'loy picha. The organization can do it, not you. Don't go make an incident. Okay, that's not the point over here. You have two people. You ask them, I want a donation. They'll give.
Right.
They'll give a donation. If I would have asked this fellow, who I'm here of this organization, can you please give a donation? I guarantee he would have given a donation. I have no doubt about it. He would have given me a very nice, I didn't ask him for a donation. I asked him for his time. And he said, my time, you got to pay me. I'm not going to charge you full price. Okay, he's entitled. He's 100% entitled. He works very, very hard. The other fellow works just as hard. He has even a bigger family. He's also entitled. Yet, he had a certain nobility of spirit where he said, of course, I'm anyway not working that day. Of course, I'll do it. Nothing to talk about. No charge. He's also entitled. And the other one is not wrong. He's not wrong, the other person. I'm not going to tie it. But what's the difference between these two people? One person is able to be poyresh from his money, and the other person is not. Time is money. I once had a mice with a car dealer. He stole my car. When the lease was up, I wanted to buy the car. My brother wanted to buy the car. It was a great car. He wanted to buy the car, and they stole the car. The dealer literally stole the car. And I confronted them, and I fought with them, and he finally admitted that he stole the car. So I said, so give it back to me. So he says to me, you cannot leave this location unless we get some money. We make money on it. What do you mean? It's stolen. No, it doesn't matter. It's in our possession, and that's what we do. We make money in this world. And if I'm not going to get paid, but it's stolen. I don't care it's stolen. I have to get money for it. I have to get, you know, the additional money that he's not entitled to. And like I was told, like, it's a real guy. He doesn't care what's right, what's wrong. Yashrus, not Yashrus. Time is money. I cannot be poyresh from my money. Moshe Rabbeinu says, before we make a trick, almost a technique, before we ask for donations, we're going to fool everyone. We're going to ask people to volunteer free. Only the people that are willing to volunteer free of their time will we then say, you know what, we don't need your time, we need a donation from you. You have to pass the litmus test. Before we can ask you for a donation, we're first going to ask you to volunteer your time. If you're willing to volunteer your time, you know what that means? You are a person that is poyresh from your money. You can separate yourself from your bank account. Life is not about money. Life is about service to Hashem. Such a person, we can then say to, excellent, you're such a person that appreciates that life is about service to Hashem. We have good news. We have news to tell you. We don't need your service, but we do need a donation. Can you please help us? That donation is gold. But the person that says, you want me to volunteer my time, my skills, half price, but I'm not going to work for free. So we said, you know what? We really don't need your service. Can you give us a donation? Oh yeah, of course I'll give you a donation. No, thank you. Keep your donation for yourself. I don't want your money. Because your money, a person whose whole life, his whole life is money, we don't want your money. We don't want money from those type of people. Obviously, you'll tell me that today it's not like that. Today we'll steal money just to survive. Unfortunately, we live in a very different world today where the nisyonos and the desperation is so great. Unfortunately, we have no choice but to cut corners, and people, unfortunately, they go way too far in doing really bizarre things all to stay alive, to keep an organization afloat. Who's to say? You can't judge anyone. That's the way the life is today. But you tell me about the Mishkan, the purity of the history, the Makar of Klal Yisrael, There's something to this concept. There's something to this concept. Before you take a donation from a person, ask them, are you willing to volunteer your time? And if they say no, then you know something, you're the type of person, I don't even want a donation from you. A person that's willing to volunteer their time shows a nobility of spirit. That type of person, we want your money. That's what it says here in this pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe leimar, daber, speak to the Jewish people, v'yikhu li tumah, take people from me. Get a hold of some good men. And then from these people, tell them, I don't want your money. I want you to take, vichli, go find people who are willing to volunteer their time. And then when you'll take that small group of people that are willing to volunteer their time, from those people, ask them for donations. But the people that are not willing to be v'yikhuli truma, to people who are willing to volunteer their time, don't even bother asking them for a donation. Because the money that they're going to give is not going to bring siyata d'shmaya in your project that you're trying to accomplish. Oh, so that doesn't mean anything. If you don't, you have to give more. Yeah, I could be very generous. My neshama, I want to give you $1 million for the course. But if I were to ask you, can you please come into the office and take off from work a whole day and go through the books and help us? I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. So there's a skill. Okay, you have to look very carefully. But in the beginning of the parasha, when we start off, this is the parasha of fundraising. Parasha's Truma is the parasha of fundraising. And here it's presenting an ideal. An ideal. It's not practical. Today, the world does not work like this. In the world we live in today, there has to be dinners, you have to honor people, you have to flatter, chanifa, and there are unethical things people do. You take money from sources that we know are not so great, and we have to make believe it's okay. All these things that go on today. And if it's mutter, it's mutter. Who's to say? I mean, what am I to say? This is the machlok is gedolei Yisrael. It's a very, 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 very sensitive issue. All of these matters. However, we have here an expert over here on these matters over here. But there's something to this idea. If you would ask him for his time, would he give his time? And the answer is no, then it goes to show there's ulterior motives in giving money. Person really believes in something, he'll give his time. And those type of people, when they give money, that's icing on the cake. Okay, let's go to a new idea. Okay, Adkan, new idea. Mm-hmm. Jump ahead. This idea is a very deep idea. Okay, I really want to say this. We've spent so much time on this. We have to just jump ahead and discuss this idea. A lot of other things, unfortunately, we're going to have to skip over. Let's talk about the paroichas. Later in the parasha, Chamishi v'yosiso foroiches techeiles v'argamon v'solashoni v'sheish mozor ma'asei choishev yaseo yisoy kruvim. Okay? Torah tells us, what's the paroiches? The paroiches is mavdil bein ha-kodesh u'bein ha-kodesh ha-kodoshim. In the kodesh ha-kodoshim is the orna kodesh, and in the kodesh is the menorah, is the shulchan, the mizbeach ha-zohav, two rooms. Kodesh, Kodesh HaKodoshim. What do we put there to separate between the two rooms? A paroiches. Okay, this is the Mishkan. In the Bayis Sheni, it was called the Amatraxin. There were two curtains because it was very, very tall. In the Bayis Rishon, there was a wall. In the Bayis Rishon, there was a wall with a door. And on the door, it was a paroiches. Okay, but now we're discussing the Mishkan. Okay, the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they were krushim, and there was kodesh hakodashim, the heichal, the kodesh, and in between there was a paroiches. And how do you make the paroiches? It says, it's techeles, argomon, tolashani, sheish, moshzor, linen, maaseh, choshev, yaseh, oisah, kruvim, designs, embroidery, on each side there was a different image, it was skilled labor, that's not our point. Next. How do you suspend the paroiches? So it says, v'nasato oisah, you shall position it upon arba'o amudei shittim. In between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodashim were four pillars. And it says very clear in this pasuk, undeniable fact, they took the parochas and they attached it to the four pillars. Vinosato oiso, you shall put it al, upon, arba'a amudei shitim, four pillars of shitim wood, mitsupim zahav, overlaid with gold, vavehem zahav, hooks, the hooks that connect the parochas to the four pillars. Al, and these pillars are stationed upon al, arba'a ad nechosef, four sockets of silver. Very nice. Why silver? Silver is hard. If the foundation was gold, it's too soft, it would topple. So the foundation is made of silver, it's very strong, it's not going to fall down. Okay, we're done, right? We're done. Right? We're done, yeah? No, we're not. Repetition. Verbosity. Nochamo. Vinosato. Es ha-paroiches. Didn't we just say that already? You put the paroiches on the four pillars? No. Vinosato sa-paroiches. Tachas ha-kirosim. Underneath the kirosim are the hooks. Another type of hook. What does that mean? We know that the on top, the roof of the Mishkan was were 10 sections, 5 and 5, and then 6 and 5 sections of linen. Okay, the first were was different, not was different material, different materials. Then there was the skins, and then were the oleis elimodem. But let's learn the lower level for the sake of simplicity. There was 5 sections connected, sewed together, 5 on one side, 5 on the other side, and they took this section of 5 with, and they connected it with the other section of 5 with hooks, 50 hooks. Each section came to end with a loop here, and they connected these two sections with hooks. So you have section A, which itself is made from 5 smaller sections that were sewn together. And on this side, there's another piece of material that was made from 5 smaller pieces of material that was sewn together. And at the edge of section A and section B, we make loops on each side. We then take hooks, and the hooks connect these two sections together. Look at this, mazel, hashkocha pratis, that when you take this massive piece of material, which now, part A, part B, which each one is made from 5 and 5, and you rest it on top of the Mishkan, it just happens to work out, hashkocha pratis, that the hooks that connect these two sections are perfectly aligned where the paroches is supposed to be. That's ma'adil ben ha-kodesh ben ha-kodesh ha-kodoshim. Hashkocha pratis, look at that. Hashkocha pratis. 5 and 5, 5 pieces over here, 5 pieces over here. Loops, we connect it, we put it right on top of the structure, and look at that. Right where the loops, right where the hooks fall out, is right on the boundary. On the boundary bein HaKodesh ubein HaKodesh HaKodosh.
That was the ceiling? It was like the ceiling?
Yeah. That was the ceiling. There were 3 ceilings, 3 levels. That was the lower level. Then there was another level, then another level. There were 3 different layers, 3 layers of material. Okay. And what does it say in this pasuk? Take the paroches, attach to the top of the paroches hooks, and attach the paroches to these hooks. So let me ask you now, what is holding up the paroches? Please clarify for me. There is the paroches is mavdil bein hakodesh uvein hakodesh hakodashim. What is holding up the paroches?
Well,
2 things. First, it says the 4 pillars, and then it says what's holding up the paroches are the hooks on top. You attach it, the paroches, to the hooks on top. Let's say you would take away the pillars, would it stand the paroches? I would assume so. Let's say you would take away the hooks, would it stand the paroches on the pillars? I would assume so. Each one, backup, redundancy. It's like computers. Computers, the goal is redundancy, or any type of a system, you want to have redundancy. Redundancy. So I read the psukim. It says, make a paroches. And then it says, Vinosata oiso, put the pareches al arba o amude shitim, on the 4 pillars. Mitsupim zahav, vavehem zahav, al arba anechot. These are not stone pillars. These pillars are made from the best wood that exists. They're overlaid with gold. They're on a foundation of silver. And they have these beautiful hooks that you can use to secure the parochas upon these pillars. Pretty good, right? Doesn't get better than this. Yes, it does. It's not enough. The next pasuk says, we're not finished yet. Then take vinosata es haparochas, tachas hakirosim, and put, you shall put the parochas underneath the hooks on top, which seem to indicate that you're gonna, the pashto says you're gonna connect it there. That's why the hook, that's why there are hooks there. You're gonna connect it. And then the pasuk says, v'hivdilo haparochas lochem bein hakodesh uvein kodesh hakodoshim. And now, presto, we now have the tachlis. Tachlis has been achieved. There's a separation between kodesh and kodesh hakodoshim. Now, let me just make a, before I tell you my idea, let me just make a ha'ara. What, and when you put the parochas on the pillars, it's not ma'avdil bein hakodesh bein hakodesh hakodoshim. The pasuk almost sounds like the only time there's going to be a separation between the two is only when you do part two. But part one was not enough. Just putting the parochas on the pillars and making a major separation between the Kodesh and the Kodesh is not sufficient. Even though the pillars themselves are separation. The pillars alone is a separation. And on top of that, there's a parochas that's attached. No, there's no mention that this is Kodesh and this is Kodesh Kodoshim. It's only when you now connect it to the hooks on top, now we have a Kodesh and a Kodesh HaKodoshim.
Maybe there was an opening.
That's right.
What?
Maybe there was a slight opening, so he had to attach it to make sure there was no opening.
Maybe, what do you mean there's a slight opening? The pillars go all the way to the ceiling. That's the Pashtus. So the pillars alone is a separation. You don't have to have, you have to have a curtain. So what's davening, there's men and women on each side. Yeah, there's two different areas. There's Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. You have the pillars, that's enough. No, you put on the pillars, the parochas. You firmly, the whole thing is sealed. Hermetically sealed. And now, you have to go also put hooks. And I left at one point. Now when you do, now when you've done that, bring in the Aron HaKodesh. Now we're ready. Bring in the Aron HaKodesh. Now we have a separation, HaKodesh, Kodesh HaKodoshim. So here's what I'm trying to bring out. First, we have to appreciate Chazal make this very clear in numerous places. Kedusha is synonymous with Havdalah. Kedusha, we make the bracha Ato Chonein, Ato Chonantanu, Mavdil ben Kodesh Lachol in the bracha of Ato Chonein Ladamdas. If there's no havdalah, it has to be in the mind. There has to be separation. Kedoshim tiyu ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. And then we go on to describe the arayos, forbidden relations. This is a reality of Yad. This is a very basic yisoid of Yad. Goyim have no understanding of this, but yet by Yad, it's built in your DNA. Sanctity, kedusha, comes through separation. To know your boundaries. By Matan Torah, Vigbalto Esahar, and Hashem tells Moshe three times, tell the people to stay away. Hashem, you don't have to repeat yourself so many times. I got it. No, Moshe, you don't understand. Tell the people again. This is a holy moment. A holy moment demands separation. They go together. This principle, if it's holy, know your place. The holier something is, the more harchaka. You have to appreciate that. So how do you make separation? Physical barriers. You go to a Hasidish wedding, you go to a Lifish wedding, you have a machitza. No, I can see the women dance if I want, right? I can go talk to any woman that I want by any Lifish wedding. I can easily find any woman that I want, no problem. Go to a Hasidish wedding, there's a mamish, like a Trump's wall.
Different buildings.
Sometimes, and even when it's not in a different building, I went once or twice to a Hasidish wedding. I could not believe the degree of separation, like different, mamish, a brick wall
different
between
different
the two. No, it was the same room. But in the same room, the mechitza, the way they do it, it's amazing. You cannot mix. There is no taruvis, impossible. They don't leave any possibility. By a little wedding, yeah, mechitza, oh, big deal. You go, you want to go find someone, you want to go watch the women dance, you can watch them dance. No one's stopping you. Do whatever you want, right? So if you want to make a separation, make a physical barrier. If Kedusha comes through separation, all you got to do is make physical barriers. We have over here in this pasuk two supports for the separation. The paroiches is the item which brings separation. The paroiches is being supported by two different items. Something that's rooted lemata and something that's rooted lemaila. What is a pillar? In Amud, a pillar is something that stands on the ground. There are four Amudim, four pillars, that's a lot. An Amud is an item which rests securely on the earth. It has a foundation, the Adonim of silver. And to this object that is rooted in the earth, we now create a separation. And you know what the Torah says? Nothing doing. Big deal. There's no separation here. I don't see any separation. And you know something? Don't bother bringing the Aron HaKodesh because it's a bazillion. The Aron is holy. You have to make another separation. A separation lamala. The second separation is where the paroiches attached support this paroiches. I don't just want a physical barrier. Go to a wedding, oh, there's a very nice physical barrier. But in my mind, you know where I am? I'm by the smorgasbord, by the women. That's where I am, in my mind. I know, I see the mechitza, but my mind is thinking about the girl or the woman on the other side of the mechitza. You have, it says here, the mechitza is not enough. You have to attach it, support this physical barrier that's fully secure. It's not going anywhere. Four amudim. It ain't going nowhere. Yeah. Nothing. It doesn't mean anything. It has to be secured lamala. Lamala represents ruchnius. Spirit. Hashamayim, shamayim lahashem. V'ho'oretz nosan levnei adam. There has to be a spiritual separation. And this is very lightweight. If you had a choice between supporting the mechitza, the paroiches, between the hooks on top and the four amudim, what would you choose? The amudim. The amudim is Fort Knox. What, the hooks? You got a couple of hooks on top holding up a curtain? It's nothing. I'll just push the curtain away. Big deal. Who needs the curtain? Right, you have a couple of hooks. What can a couple of hooks do to hold up a paroiches? But the difference is the hooks, when the curtain is supported lamala, this is a spiritual separation. It's a separation of sensitivity, a recognition that when there's sanctity, when there's a davar that is kodosh, a havdalah between a Jew and a goy, between kodesh and chol, it's not just, oh, today is Saturday, and today is Friday, so there's a separation. That's the only difference. Just time. Friday is Friday. Saturday is Saturday. Saturday is Shabbos. Saturday, we go from work. Okay, I don't have to call women, okay? Let's forget about women. Who cares about women? Let's talk about men, okay? Between Yisrael, Loamim, the Jewish and the Goyim, between Shabbos and Chol. Friday is Friday, Saturday is Saturday. Friday you go to work, Saturday you don't go to work. So what do? You don't go to work, you stay home, you watch television. That's on a timer, you put on the timer, and you do this, you do that, you dress in shorts, and you have a beer, and it's separation, havdalah. And it's a real havdalah. We have laws in place, rights to observe the Sabbath, not to go to work. It's a much stronger, the physical havdalah is ironclad. Four amudim, hooks, secure. Torah says, big deal, doesn't mean anything to me. support your Havdalah, your separation, with a spiritual element. Connect this paroiches to the hooks, lemala. Look up to Shemayim. HaShemayim Shemayim LaHashem. Oh, now you have a winning combination. Now you got it. You have, in this world, if you're just going to live in the spiritual world, you're done, you're finished. You're not going to survive one day. You have to have physical things to help you along. You have to have a mechitza. There has to be this Kodesh HaKadoshim. Has to be a mechitza. Physical mechitza, that's strong and secure. But you also have to appreciate that this is Kodesh Kodoshim and this is Kodesh, and not the same. That appreciation has to come from Lamala, looking upwards. Then we have Havdalah. Havdalah is synonymous with Kedusha. But in order for there to be Kedusha, there has to be an appreciation of separation in the Olam HaRuchni, in Lamala. When you want to make a separation on this physical earth, it's very good, very good. You have the four amudim, and you have the hooks, and you put up the pareches, and there's a separation between this side and that side. But the Torah says, that's not what I want from you. I want you to understand a havdalah bein ha-koidesh, le-koidesh ha-kodoshim, and certainly bein koidesh l'chol. And for that, there has to be another element of separation. Another element of support of the separation. An appreciation in the Olam HaRuchni of what separation is all about. Take that physical barrier that you've connected and also connect it to something lamala, spiritual. Then you'll first be able to understand you have a Havdalah bin HaKodesh bin HaKodesh HaKodeshim. If you don't have an appreciation, there's something called Shabbos. And there's something called Chol. And what Shabbos, the sanctity of Shabbos is all about, then just not working on Saturday and setting up physical barriers. Friday we work, Saturday we don't work. We have laws in place to make sure all the businesses are shut down and there's no Chil Shabbos. It means nothing. It means nothing. The physical barriers, no matter how strong they are, if it's not rooted in the connection to the Kerasim Lamala, it will just fade away. But just having this, you can't go have I'll have Kavana, Shtei Shabbos, you go to work. That you can't do also. You also have to have the physical barriers. You can't just have Kavana, Havdalah in Lamala. There's a Kavana, there's men and women. No, you're a woman, I'm a man, but we can sit together in shul. It also doesn't work. You also need the physical barrier. But just having a physical barrier without having an appreciation for the sanctity that is inherent in this barrier, then the physical barrier is nonsense. It's not going to accomplish anything. It'll be gone in a day. This is the depth of what's happening over here in the Pareches. Yosisa Pareches. And the pasuk goes on to say, take the Pareches. You know what you do? Make a physical Pareches. V'nasat oisa al arba amudei shitim. Pillars. Pillars are on the ground. Mitzvim zav, vaveim zav, al arba nechesef, the best you can possibly do in this world. But the best you can do in this world is nothing if you don't add another ingredient. V'nosato es aporeches tachas hakerosim. Another support for this barrier. L'mayla. Look upwards to Shemayim. Ruchnius. Then when you'll do that, this winning combination, now you're ready. You've established Kedusha. Now you can take the Aron HaKodesh, bring it to the Kodesh HaKodoshim, and now you can say, there's a Havdalah bein HaKodesh LaKodesh HaKodoshim. Okay, Rabbi Sai, we are out of time. Have a wonderful Shabbos.